escuta fazendo in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. From your Bibles, Ephesians and chapter 4. We've got something important to look at. We want to look at new tongues. Glory to God. Say new tongues.
New tongues.
Hallelujah. Sometimes people ask, what all that speaking in tongues business about? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And see, we have to find answers from God's word properly. Ineffective in helping their queries. So we're going to look at it. New tongues. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. To give us direction now, we have Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Now, it says that he came. That's what is there about the Lord Jesus. That the Lord Jesus gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. They can say he gave the leadership of the church, amen, or leadership in his body. So he gave them four about the perfection of the saints. The word four there is in stores, the perfection of the saints. And then the next word four is a different word from the first one. So the second word four means unto. Also is pros. In the Greek, second one is eight. So he gave them towards the perfection of the saints, unto the work of ministry, unto the divine authority of Christ. Then he says, till we all come to the unity of the faith. So that means that perfecting of the saints is for us all to come to the unity of the faith. Now notice this means it is specific. Unity means it is wholesome. And then faith means about the knowledge. So it's for us to come to a specific wholesome knowledge. Amen. A specific wholesome knowledge. That means the Christian faith has its own specific wholesome knowledge. Hallelujah. Remember that in being an example of Christ. Amen. So it has a specific wholesome knowledge that every saint is supposed to be perfected in. Praise God. That means it's a knowledge thing. You're like, you can say, I'm a Christian, I don't care about what I know or don't know. No. What it means to be a Christian has a lot to do with what you know. Praise God. Are you following this at all? What do you know? Amen. That's very key. What you know is actually the level of growth that you have as a Christian. So he said he wants the Lord to come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So notice that word says measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Measure means a particular measure, obviously, but it has it of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means there's a particular build he wants us to have, a stature that he wants us to have. Now he says this model will produce. You know, I use the example in other teachings that is like saying, you know, there are some materials, you put some of them as hats. You'll say, you get this book, you will have this kind of body build, right? Amen. And there's some kind of exercise or give you that will affect some, this is what you call it, I don't know, this is to swear. Amen. Some, they'll give you very serious muscles. Some, I said, they'll give you very weakened hats. As if they have done you. Amen. Not like my own spiritual hands, right? We get one. Amen. You know, there are some specific things you're just going to do. Praise God. They'll give you, you do this, do that, it will affect this. Amen. So they'll show you the kind of structure you're going to have. Amen. So what Paul is saying is that there's a specific knowledge that will produce the kind of build that God wants us to have. Are you following this? That knowledge will produce the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the level of growth that he wants us to have. Amen. So that now says we no longer be children, tossed around from the middle of the earth by the pyramid, the darkness of sinful plotting. But speaking the truth, the Lord will grow up into even all things. So growth is in view. Into even all things, through the end of Christ, from your body, join and eat together by that which every man supplies, according to the effect of my own death, the shepherds to the growth of body in the divine and Son of God. Very clear is that the church has a definite work, and that work is to perfect the saints. And that is by knowledge. So, what you find is saying on any subject matter that affects him, unable to show clear knowledge of the faith, he won't grow in that regard. Amen. He needs to know, hallelujah, to be able to grow. He's knowing that he's growing, hallelujah. And so, one thing we're going to find in this knowledge that we have is that it's emphatic on God's purpose and plan. If our purpose that has written this specific knowledge that we are supposed to grow in, he told us that they are written it in the same material. You see that in Ephesians chapter 3. This same knowledge that we are supposed to grow in. Paul will say in Ephesians, are you there? Are you there? Okay. Paul will say in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, He said, for this reason, I, Paul, prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me for you, out of my revelation, he has made known unto me, Paul says, the mystery, which I will have taught in few words, that which when you read, you will understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So, Paul is saying that he has written that message to us, that message that was supposed to bring. And by then, you go back to what he said he has written, particularly in chapter 1, 3 all the way to 14. You find that it has an emphasis on God's purpose and plan. And there, he tells us that God's purpose is for us to be sons. In Ephesians 1 and verse 5, he has predestined us to sonship. When I say adoption as sons, it's one word. He has predestined us to sonship by Jesus Christ himself. And that part of us being predestined to sonship is not just individuals, it's collective. He wants us all to be in his family. That's what God planned for us to be in his family. And Paul is explaining the fulfillment of that in Ephesians 2 from 18 to 22, shows us that via Christ's work, that work is to do. Amen. That plan that God has, that we should be in his family, is fulfilled. Is somebody out there? Eh? Yeah. Amen. That plan that God has for us to be in his family is fulfilled. Is somebody listening to this? Amen. By what Christ has done. Look at Ephesians 2 18. I want to pay attention. We are sitting in a new tongue. When we get lost, we are right in the proper defining of what I'm saying. It's not my friend's power. Amen. Yes, are you following? Ephesians 2:18. He says, for through him, talking about Christ, we both have access by one spirit to whom? To the Father. Through Christ, he says, we have access by one spirit to the Father. Amen. So, but Christ's word gives us the spirit that brings us to the Father. And the implication of that bringing us to the Father is now verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers nor foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the house of God. Showing us that God's plan is a collective. He wants a house. And we are featuring in that plan of the collective individual. Amen. Are you following this? So he says, members of the house of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostle and prophet, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. So, the function of the apostle and prophet Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone where everything is connected. Amen. Everyone was connected to the same way we say we are from the head. The same way we say we are all connected to the foundation. Amen. He now says, in whom the whole building. So, we are built. All of us have believed in us, but are built on Jesus as the chief cornerstone of the foundation. Amen. He now says, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, growing into what? A holy temple. A holy temple in the Lord. He said, you know, we have been built together was a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we can say God's plan is a temple. Are you listening to this? God's plan is a temple. And God's plan is sonship, but sons that make up the family, that make up the temple where it dwells. Amen. So God has a purpose of having it. That means, why did God make everything? So why did he make the heavens and the earth? The heavens and the earth is reflective of his heart of the temple. The heaven upon the earth is the speed of that temple. Praise God. God wants a temple, and that purpose is to build in Christ. Amen. And man rejecting God's plan of a temple at the beginning, before he accomplished it in redemption through Jesus Christ, will show us some vital things about that temple. But now, let me say this, that part of God wants the temple as the plan is reflected right from Genesis. Amen. In Genesis 1, when it says, what was God aiming for? What did he want? He wanted man in his image. Amen. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. That means man already made his likeness, then man is just to be in his image. Amen. Now, that word image in the Old Testament word, the word the name, usually used for idols, which is image that means an exact representation of the God. Amen. That we put in the temple. It's the name. That we put in the temple. So, it's already showing that it's via man that is going to have his exact representation in this temple that is building, which is all men. Amen. So, that old temple will have the replica of it, his image in it, by his spirit. I want to say image. That's why we say, what's the image of God? We say Christ, which is the fulfillment of that stress, but now replicated across God. That temple of God, you see, having that image of God, which is the Spirit. Amen. So when people see the church, or they see the believer, they see that temple of God as a replica of that part. Oh, if you are worshiping, for example, in those days, I'm trying to bring the image back to your mind. Like, let's say you are worshiping witchcraft, and maybe Shango. There's supposed to be an image. Oh, that's the Shango temple. You might need another Shango temple in another place, maybe because there's Shango as well, right? So you'll find the same image in all of them. Praise God. I want the same thing. So the believer is the reality of God's image by the Spirit, but the fact for them is making up the house is where God actually goes. Praise God. I want the same thing. Okay? That's just to say. Now, you find that a man rejected that plan of God. Man rejected that plan of God on a particular ground. Look at Genesis 3. I don't want us to get lost in much of that because I want to be focused on one, but you have to look at it to get to the eye to understand it. Amen. Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. After he told her that, oh, did God say you should not eat? He said, yes, you should not eat, you should even touch. That was not true. God said you should not touch. Amen. Then you eat. Amen. That's bad hearing. Amen. Tell you will not surely die. For God knows that they need of it. Your eyes will be open and you will be like God. So that means the reason why they didn't believe is rather than be submitted to God and be sons of God, they wanted to be God on their own. You find that the same reasoning of the Antichrist. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says essentially the nature of unbelief is that fact that man self wants to be enthroned as God rather than being submitted to God. Amen. And being the source of God, which is God's purpose and plan. And that's what we are going to find. So they wanted to be God on their own. And invariably, you see that reflected in the kind of worship they have, the idol worship that they have, and where in the temple they are only replicating things that glorify self. Amen. In the temple they obey, they are replicating that glorify self. Now, again, are we on the same page, Pastor? We are on the same page, right? Amen. God's purpose and plan is a temple. Praise God. So his purpose is temple. In the temple, what is the temple? His family. What does he want to do with the family? He wants them to have fellowship. In the temple, what do you want to have fellowship? Worship. Amen. So we can say God's purpose is fellowship with the family. He wanted a family that's going to fellowship with him. We can also call it using the temple language. God wanted temple worship. Amen. That there will be people that make up his temple and they are going to worship him. Now, in man's rejection of God's plan, we see him create his own temple and want to have his own worship in Genesis 11. Praise God. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1. He says, now the whole earth had one language, Safar, is the word in the Hebrew, and one speech, the Ma, utterance. So the whole earth had one language. What they speak is actually the one similar to Lip, amen, their Lip. What they speak, and then one speech, the Ma, usually used for a word, or the word they say, utterance. They had one language and one utterance. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, that they dwelt there. Shinar is in Babylon. And then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. So what did they want to build? They wanted to build their own temple, right? A city and a tower. You know, today we'll say concerning the church, we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. That same Mount Zion that we have come to is what's called the temple of God. Are you following this? Amen. So we are in a city, we are in a temple. You also want us to build a city and a tower, which is a temple. Amen. Is that what tower itself used for a pulpit? Amen. So it says, let us transfer the city and the tower up into the heavens. So their own temple. Why are they going to worship there? They will worship the creator rather than the creator. Amen. As Paul is saying in Romans 1, which is just the worship of self, what their hands can accomplish and so on and so forth. But notice one thing that was key in that worship is that they started out by saying they had one language and one speech. Amen. One language and one utterance. Are you following this? So usually in temple worship, there's usually a no language for such worship. Now it seems that today, if anybody can come and do what is it called? What festival have, can we say? It's not only festival doing in your parliament that is, I'm aware of. You see some white there, right? I think what shows you are like, you see some white folks, right? Amen. That's, I I think they are doing praise for the life they bring, amen? And they're going to celebrate with them. You won't see them there speaking English. Am I right? Am I right? There is a language of sun worship. Now, let me use an example, and I hope people are not thinking negatively. For example, even in some religions today, they still stick to the language that is the root of that religion. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In worship. Amen. And when they are going to worship, they are going to speak that language. Amen. It's not as if what they are saying does not mean in other religions, but they are using that particular language. What binds them together is the language of that worship. Praise God. Are you following this? Same if you are doing whether you are social work, you are doing error, you are doing anything. There is a particular language that was found. He said there was one language, one speech of man's worship and of man's rebellion at that time. Is that not even difficult? It's debatable. Even within historicity, that this period is one language. What are you going to do in this gospel? Praise God, let me say. You get to speak with the WC, but that's what the focus is. So it's actually a difficult thing that's going on. I want the same thing. Okay, so he said, let us make a name for ourselves to be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. And verse 5, the Lord came down to the city and to the town. That means the temple that they have made, I'm in Genesis 11, 5. Amen. The temple that they have made in rebellion to him. The temple that made them God. That was himself. Amen. And which the sons of men had built. And God said, indeed, so they were in rebellion. Indeed, these people have one language, and this is what they have begun to do. Now, what are they supposed to do with them from there? He said, come, let us go down, and then confuse their language, and they will not understand one another's speech. How was that become? Well, it's not the way it depends. Is it just what happens among them? Or is it that in his own will, which is the bringing of the gospel, is going to scatter their language? Amen. Are you following this? They are already trying to have one worship, and he still has a plan of redemption. Amen. You see, man is going towards rebellion, and he has a plan of redemption to bring in the gospel. So the Lord started him across from the face of the earth, and they still building the city. The day after he building the city, you still see the temples in different ways this time around. But God's message is also now in the earth against what he did. Praise God. Now, what is clear, anyways, I don't want to overflow that teaching, is that in this worship that man has made, there is a language that unifies them. Praise God. One language, one utterance. A divine language. Is it that there was only one language here? Very debatable. Very debatable to say that. Amen. The issue is that there is one language that always unifies any kind of worship man has. Praise God. And you still see that part today. Just as God intended, when he wanted to make man in his image, if man is going to be in his image, they will have one language that unifies them. And that's what is blessed here. Rather than feeling the truth, when they were going to rebel against you, there was one language that was found unifying them. Praise God. One language and one utterance. Amen. One language and one utterance that was found unifying them. Amen.
Amen.
So, language and utterance, you find this key in temple worship. God's purpose is temple worship. We can say that temple worship is a family and fellowship with the family. Amen. And in temple worship, there is the place of language and utterance in it. Now, to show you further that part, go to Isaiah, where Isaiah is teaching on tongues, as Paul told us. Isaiah chapter 28. Paul told us Isaiah spoke words that was about the language and utterance in the worship of God, or in God's own temple worship. Amen. Paul was telling us that Isaiah spoke words about God's own temple worship. Are you there? And there was a language of answer to it. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 11. With stammering lips, and another tongue. So these are new tongues, are you there? Are you following this? Now, I could just talk about tongues. I don't say why there is no tongue. Are you following this? That in God's plan of temple worship, language and utterance is key in that temple worship. That's why there is tongue. That's why now we can see that when man rebelled against it, there was a temple that he made, and there was language and utterance with a unified language and utterance. Praise God. I want to say this. Alright? So you must see, for example, of God's purpose. Now it says, we stand in the another tongue, I will speak to these people. Verse 4, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet you will not hear. Now, what does it mean? This is the rest. Amen. With which you will cause the weary to rest. You write that word rest used by Isaiah about God's temple. Isaiah chapter 6 and 1.
In fact, before I show you Isaiah 60, you'll find that actually, what's it called? David abused it. 1 Chronicles 28, too. 1 Chronicles 28, too. When it says, with honorable power, they will speak, and that is when they speak, they will say this to the rest. That is going to you. That is going to you. Amen. It's actually that when they are found speaking that tongue, it's actually in the particular temple worship. Are you following? 1 Chronicles. Oh, I'm not lost. Are you sure? Remember what I said? What is God's purpose and plan? Temple worship. Or family and his fellowship. Amen. That family and his fellowship can be depicted as temple worship. Amen. Now, every temple worship has a divine language and utterance to it. Praise God. And we saw that the man's rebellion against God's purpose when he built his own temple, his own city and temple. When all the God wants to build also is city and temple. Amen. Which is Zion today. Are you getting this? Amen. Now, when I just spoke about stammering lips and another tongue, he says it is about a rest. What verse was he talking about? 1 Corinthians 28 and verse 2. Aside from one, David assembled at Jerusalem. Now, David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribe, the captains of the division, and that who served the king, the captains over the 1,000, and captains over the 100, and stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officials, the brilliant men, and all the mighty men of valor. And King David rose up and said, hear me, my brethren and my people, I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of God, which is always the presence of God's presence. That's what God does. I want to build a house of rest, am I right? For the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and I made preparation to build it. So, the temple that Solomon eventually built, amen, David called it the one house of rest. Okay. Now, Isaiah will speak up, say, Isaiah chapter 6, the 6. Isaiah chapter 6, the 6. And verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, where is the house you will build me? The house of rest that David talked about. Amen. Mm-hmm. Are you following me? He said, where is the house you build? That means that's not what Solomon himself says to right when he built it. He said, can this house continue? Amen. I want to say, that means that's not the reality. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, where is the house you will build it? Where is the place of my. So, the place of rest is the temple. That's where he's going to abide. His dwelling place forever. Where he's going to permanently abide. Where he's going to permanently abide. Are you following this? Amen. Alright, now go back to that Isaiah 20. So, when they add that utterance, another tongue, and another utterance, stammering lips, apart, and another tongue. You will speak to these people. So, there was going to be a different lip that will be mocked, and it's going to be another tongue, another is the word of strange. It's going to be strange to them. Amen. So, it will be strange to all people. It says, you will speak to these people. To whom he said, this is the rest. So we feel our God going to rest. So the house of the rest, his refreshing, was going to have a particular language of worship as well. Amen. And that language of worship will be a stammering lip, a lip that will be mocked. And then another one that will permanently spread to all humanity. Are you following this? Amen. So in God's own temple worship, there is going to be his own language and utterance that will be have a totally different or strange language that will be mocked. Amen. That's coming there. That will be mocked. Are you there from far? If you have a totally different or strange language, that will be mocked in his own temple worship. Are you following at all? So when we speak of this temple, who was going to build this temple of God that is going to have this language that we speak? Jesus. Amen. John 2. Are you there? It's Jesus that will build. It's Jesus that will build. It's somebody there. Eh? Jesus is the one who is going to build this temple. In John 2 and 13, now the pastor of the Jew was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep, and grapes and money changers. So it was in the temple. Then he made me from God and he drove them out. Then verse 16, he said, John 2, I'm on verse 16 now. John chapter 2. Amen. Okay. That's why you have to open the Bible in church so you can learn to open your Bible also on your own or learn where those places are. It's what you have to learn. Hallelujah. Alright, verse 16. Truth is free. I mean, there's a time everybody has to open their Bible. Praise God. Truth is free. You have to follow him along. Praise God. Everyone. Amen. John 2. 16. Then he says, those soldiers, take these things away. Do not let my father's house out of. Then look at verse 19. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll do what? So, who is going to build that temple of God's rest? Jesus. Alright. Jesus will destroy that temple with them. He said this is the house of the rest, but was not the real one. Amen. He will destroy it and then he's going to build the real one. Look at what he said in 20. And Jesus said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple. Now, that was 6 years. Solomon did not be doing for 6 years. That was when they were building it again after I was destroyed by the Babylon. Amen. Are you following this? And now to build again, where you see Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, Haggai, all of them trying to accomplish that. But amen. So they had lost an engineer in that period. They were the best foundation. They built a lot of persecution, blah, blah, blah. So then, 46 years, it has taken to build this temple. And he raised up in 3 days, and he was speaking of the temple of his what? Of his body. Hallelujah. Therefore, when you are bringing from the dead, exactly remember that I said this them and they believe the scripture and the one which Jesus had said. So they realize that the true temple is the one that Jesus was going to build before his body, the church. Hallelujah. So you find Paul saying in John 1 and in verse 21 that when Christ was raised, God gave him to the head. Head will be foundation of the building. He gave to the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the Lord. Hallelujah. So the church now is that temple. And Ephesians 2, when Paul was talking about it, he says we are now an holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians 2, go back there again. So if we are now this temple will have its own language and all kinds of what? Of worship. Are you there? It's the language and all kinds of words that binds them. We'll have its own temple, we'll have its own language and all kinds of worship. As figuratively Moses showed that man's rebellion also had its own. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So human language that is scattered abroad cannot be that binding language of worship. Amen. It's all scattered from a singular language of rebellion. Amen. So there's going to be another language of worship entirely. Is someone there? Another language of worship entirely that is going to be the basis of our temple worship, or if we take the name of temple and speak with family, of our family fellowship. Are you there? So there will be another language and utterance of worship or fellowship in this family or worship in this temple. So if you just choose that temple, you as us, the church. Now you have another spirit of the foreigners. Fellowship is the same. Members of the house of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So, as Jesus built that temple, yes, in whom we are built together as the temple of God in the Spirit. So, we now have a particular language and utterance of worship or fellowship. Hallelujah. First, when the Lord rose, having accomplished and built the temple, he now said himself in Mark 16. Go there. He said himself in Mark 16. Hallelujah. He said himself in Mark 16. So, this is the rest. That means this is the place of rest that will be built. In fact, why is that Mark 16? It comes in Mark 16 by the way. Amen. Mark 16, after he had done this work, he said, going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature that believes in the Bible, says that will not be down. He that believes will be part of the temple. Is that right? Amen. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. Praise God. So, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Signs of the temple, signs of the tabernacle. Praise God. Are you following this? They will do what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. If they take off something, they begin it. Things are going to lose them.
They will learn something and they will recover. So in this temple, they are going to speak with new tongues. There will be a new language and utterance of worship. So the reason why there is songs is for the purpose of God. Worship and fellowship in this family, in this temple. That's what the issue is. Worship and fellowship in this family, in this temple. Go back to Isaiah. You'll find out that as he spoke about the rest, he was also talking about Jesus as the chief cornerstone. In that same 28 and verse 16. Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation. Who is that? Jesus, to whom we are all going to be connected to that temple. So let me start all the way so you can catch with the context. He says, for we stand in it another from the scriptures to now to get better view, start from verse 9. Whom will it give knowledge and whom will it make to understand the message? Those weak from milk, those drunk from the breast, for precepts must be upon precepts, precepts upon precepts, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, here a little. For we stand in it and another from our scriptures. Amen. So there's going to be a new way of worship and fellowship via which God will communicate his message. Are you following this? So they are having on the ministry of speaking God's message will be from the way God is, the language from which we are going to be speaking in this period. Amen. That's how I was saying they are going to be speaking filled by the Spirit. Are they going to speak as filled by the Spirit? Amen. So they are talking in tongues, they are going to, we'll see that in the next chapter, professor. Amen. So we are going to start carrying ministry as filled by the Spirit. Okay? He now says, to whom he said, this is the rest that I'm called to bring to rest, this is the rest here, the one here. For the word of the Lord today was present upon present, present upon present, present upon present, I have my life, my year is there, and do that amen. They might go and fall backwards and be broken and scared and caught. That's the road to not believe. Therefore, the word of the Lord is come to men. And who rule these people who are in Jerusalem? Because you have said, you have made a covenant with them and we show their agreement. When you have only spoken passage, it will not come to us, for we have made lives and refuge, and under falsehood we have been ourselves. These are people not believing, and nothing will happen to us. Let's not have refuge. Are you following me? Then verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay Zion, a stone for the foundation, a trial and a precious for a sure foundation. You will believe to not hastily. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to be founded on that foundation. So, tongues is the language and the utterance of this new temple of this family. It's the language of the utterance of the worship in this temple of the fellowship in this family. It's the language of the utterance of worship in this temple of fellowship in this family. So, new tongues will be the light of everything that is called new. The new covenant. Now, what is the contrast with what is old? It's the contrast with the figure of everything that was supposed to be fulfilled in the reality which is called the new. Are you following this? Okay? So, new tongues, the actual language of our worship in the reality, there's going to be new tongues. Jesus said, they will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Is somebody out there thus far? So, what we need to see here about these new tongues is to first find out what kind of temple and worship do we have. The temple we saw in Ephesians 22 is a temple in the Spirit. They are built together as the living of God in the what? Spirit. You see the worship John 4, John chapter 4 and verse 20. The woman speaking to Jesus, the Samaritan woman, she said, our father worship on this mountain. And you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. And Jesus said to the woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Amen. So in this worship that is coming, as Jesus is there, in this coming worship is going to be a worship of who? The Father. Now that's something that we related before. Amen. They have never worshipped God as far. But in this temple, is the temple of the family. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay? He says, worship the Father. You worship what you've not know. We know what we worship for salvation is out of the Jews. But the hour is coming,
And now is when the true worshippers, the worshippers in reality, we worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We said the temple is in the spirit. Am I right? Just to do the worship is in the spirit. The place of the worship is also in the spirit. You are not only the general worshipper, those who worship in the spirit. Hallelujah. Are you following? It's in the spirit. So the language and order of worship will be in the spirit. Language and the utterance of worship would be in the spirit. Hallelujah. So in this family or in this temple, there is a unifying language and utterance of worship. Or language and utterance of fellowship. There's a unifying language, one unifying language and utterance of worship and of fellowship. We start on new tongues. And Jesus spoke to them about it. He told them that, look at Acts 1. Let's go to Acts 1. In Acts chapter 1, he said in verse 4, being assembled together, I commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, don't be baptized, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Verse 8, for you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. So, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you have to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, amen, and then allow you to have that experience of this new tongue. When that happens, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Are you following this? Tongues, therefore, is that language, utterance of the worship in the new temple of the fellowship with God's family. There's a language of utterance of worship in the new temple or in God's true temple or the language of fellowship in God's family. That's the basis of it. That's the reason for that. That in the purpose that God has to have to have a temple or a family, there is supposed to be a unifying mode of worship and fellowship. And that's why we have tongues. Are you there? Hallelujah. The unifying mode of worship and fellowship. And tongues is that unifying mode of worship and fellowship. Acts 2, where it was filled. And when the apostles were split up, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly they came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and they filled the whole house where they were seated. And they appeared on them, holding up like as a fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So we have seen three different phrases used to describe the initial experience of this. Amen. We saw, you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. John baptized you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Are you following this? We saw, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Amen. Now we are saying, they are filled with the Holy Ghost. Three phrases. Are you there? In some other places, you'll see the Holy Ghost will fall upon you. Well, I say the same as the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Amen. So, three different ways. Baptized with the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, see this. He said, we're all filled with the Holy Ghost, and begin to do us. Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives us. Now, we have seen earlier that the word used to qualify tongues was what? New tongues. New. Hallelujah. That means the true unifying language of our worship. Amen. It's not anybody's human language that is the divine language of our worship. It's a supernatural mode of communication that you now have to interpret into individual languages. Amen. Are you following? It's a supernatural mode of communication that will be our unifying language. So, there's no case. I'm trying to go to a place like, I need to learn Hebrew. You know, there are phases today where you need to learn a particular language to be able to engage in our worship. Praise God. I want to say English. No, the divine language of our worship is supernatural tongues. And then you cannot interpret to anybody's own language to preach the message. Praise God. I want to say English. I want to say English. So, the divine language of our worship or fellowship in the faith of Christ, in the worship of God in truth, is supernatural tongues. Amen. I want to say English. And it's telling me, who goes? Adanja from the top of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost upon them, filled the Holy Ghost and the Spirit with us. Okay, I was looking at the reality. So we are saying that they use the word new tongues. Here, he used the word and the began to speak with what? Other tongues. Etheros. Etheros is from where? Isaiah, where it says, and another language, a strange language. Etheros means another of a different kind. That means, compared to what human languages we have never seen before. Praise God. Kairos also is the delight of this is the reality we fulfilled. The true temple and his language. New tongues. Amen. Etheros, totally different from human language. Amen. With other tongues. So, it totally takes it away from human language when it says they began to speak with other tongues. New tongues means they have human language. Other tongues means they have human language. Amen. You will find one more description to qualify tongues in 1 Corinthians. Amen. One more adjective used to qualify tongues in 1 Corinthians. We saw new, kairos, other tongues, heteros. Now you see in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 12. So what is tongues all about? Is about the new worship. Is about the new fellowship. Or it's about the worship and the fellowship of truth. Are you there? Amen. Are you following this? It's not an innovation to make a point. It's what should have always been. Are you there? That we now find the source of a different kind of people's worship. Amen. That people now buy into. But it was supposed to be one language that is supernatural. Anybody anywhere with supernatural habits. Thoughts. Amen. And that's how God wanted to worship. Hallelujah. So I have worship and fellowship amongst his people. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. It says, to another one of the rebels, to another one, to another, you see in KJ, what you have there, diverse kinds, am I right? Diverse satisfies, it's satisfied. Again, with different kinds, different satisfies, so you don't have kinds of tongues. Amen? Amen? Then you see in verse 28 as well. What you have there again is diverse tongues or something.
Diversity
of tongues. Here you have in case elderly varieties of tongues. Amen. Variety. And it's the same word in both things and the word what? Genos. Genos. Genos meaning a kind. That means it's a tongue of a particular kind, group, species of people. Genos, the way you have it in, what's that thing about? Passation of anything. Have you? Genos. In biology. Amen. Is it not?
Genos.
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 Genos. Genos. Genos. Genos. Genos. Genos. So, it's going a class of people. It's a tongue of a class of people. I want to say this. So, these people that make up this temple of God or the family of God have their tongue. It's supernatural. It's by the Spirit. They have their tongue. Their tongue is for what? Worship. Their tongue is for what? Fellowship. Amen. I've designed them. Why? Why is that? When you see, whether it's Oshosobo or it's any other faith or religion, and they have the same language, is that when they go to worship, they must all be one. Have you? In that worship. Praise God. Are you following this? The way we are one in our worship of God is supernatural. Praise God. Amen. It's not by us buying into every one man with them. No, don't say just again. Say, Yeshua, Amasiah. No. The way we are one in our worship of God is supernatural. So God has designed that this worship of Him in truth will be an equalizer. Praise God. Amen. Every person will have the same thing. A supernatural Lord speaking. It's not a human language. So, it's not simple when they say, oh, tongues are not a language to preach. No. It's a language for worship. Are you getting it? Now, that language of worship can be a means to receive messages from the great people that you have translated into their own language. But it's just a language for worship and fellowship with God. Are you there? A unified language and utterance for worship and fellowship with God. That's what tongues was always about. The same way any temple, there will be a divine language of worship and fellowship with any deity that is not really part of the human language. Amen. Except if it's God's ignorance. I believe they'll have a divine language of worship and fellowship.
There is in the truth the unifying language of fellowship and worship with God in truth.
Hallelujah. And supernatural tongues. Glory to God. Are you there? So that's the language of our worship of God in the spirit. In the spirit. In the spirit. So why tongues?
Our God wants all men everywhere to have a united mode of fellowship and worship with Him.
Amen. It's a united mode of fellowship and worship with Him that is effective because it's by the Spirit. It's effective because it's by the Spirit. It's effective because it's by the Spirit. So the Spirit makes effective what we do. Pay attention. Pay attention. It makes effective what is done when we talk in tongues. So one question will now be, how can I be filled with the Spirit, or baptized in the Spirit, or have the Holy Ghost come upon me for the first time? At least we'll say, amen.
Where is that initial instance of speaking in tongues? How can a man speak in tongues with these new tongues?
Amen. Hallelujah. You notice that the tongues of a people of the kind of worship. Once a man is in that worship or in that temple or in that family, which is by faith in Christ, is joined to the foundation of the cornerstone, Jesus, of the building. Amen. I believe if you join to the cornerstone of the building, you can't be lost. You can't get out of the building. Stop. Amen. Don't let the family. I get something. If it's part of it, then you already have the ability to do so. Hallelujah. Why? The Lord poured out His Spirit on us for that purpose. Amen. He has poured out His Spirit. You see that the outpouring of the Spirit by the Lord Jesus and the resurrection is one to bring people into that family. Amen. The person can receive the Spirit and be saved by faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following this? The Lord has poured out His Spirit. One does say, oh, for it to happen, now just wait and tarry until God just pours His Spirit on me.
No.
Are you following this? Are you following this? The outpouring of the Spirit is a singular permanent event of the resurrection. Jesus has poured out the Spirit. Amen. So, I will have to ask you, was it Titus 3? Pay attention. How does a man get filled with the Spirit, or baptized with the Spirit, or talk in tongues? Hallelujah. Amen. We also looking at it to say, how do you also minister to people to be filled with the Spirit? Pray to God. Amen. And talk with new tongues. Why tongues? It is the unifying language of worship and fellowship with God in His family, in His temple. Amen. Mm-hmm. Are you following? That's why tongues. Now, that's why tongues. When you say, Benedict of God, go to the Bible, I'll get to that. I want to say it. Amen. But why tongues? It is the language, the utterance of this new worship and fellowship that we have. That's the basis. Praise God. Somebody there. Amen. I want to say it. Glory to Him. And then you go to Titus, right? Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And look at from verse 4. He said, when the kindness and love of God our Savior, the Lord's man appeared, all of the works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the worship of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Who did what? Poured out abundantly on us. Am I right? Who we poured out H2O abundantly on us through Jesus Christ our Savior. The Spirit has been poured out through Jesus and the resurrection, has been poured out. And that's how today you have the washing of regeneration and the ring of the Holy Ghost. A washing that rebirths you, part of the message. It births you again, that gives you another birth. Amen. The washing of regeneration, which is the renewing, making new by the Holy Ghost. Are you there? Amen. From that outpouring, that sacrifice and resurrection, you can now be saved. Are you following this? You can now be saved. From that outpouring, you can now be saved. Now, but that's not the end of it. From that outpouring, it's not just for you to be saved, because when you are saved, all that happens is that the Spirit of God is in you. Amen. We can use an analogy like many people have given us. Let's say, from that outpouring, you can be saved. That from that outpouring, you say, I believe the gospel. The Spirit is as if you are a cup. Let me use that analogy. It's as if you are a cup, and then the Spirit is now poured inside you. Praise God. Are you following? That means what you have received to that degree at the point where you have faith in Christ is the Spirit was within. Amen. When you receive to that degree from the outpouring, God has come by Spirit to Jesus Christ and the resurrection. When you believe the gospel, oh, I believe Christ died in my soul again, is that I receive the Spirit to the degree
ministry of justice in prayer room.
Are you following?
But the outpouring was not to be for you to receive it to just the degree of being well. It's for you to receive it so that you are baptized in the Spirit.
Amen.
Why does one not baptize the Spirit? It's effective for ministry.
Hallelujah.
Particularly because of his effectiveness for ministry. So when he sent them to go and preach their witness of this thing, he said, but tarry in the city of Israel must be a new part of mine. So when a believer is not found effective in all that God wants him to be, for example, if there was no spiritual is for ministry, you can therefore not be effective in both spiritual goods and ministry without being filled. Don't be as effective as you're saying. Amen. So it's effective for ministry, praise God. So it doesn't want the person to receive the outpouring of the Spirit only to the degree of being well. You want this person to receive the outpouring of the Spirit to the degree of being filled, baptized, or the Spirit being upon. Are you getting this? To the degree of being filled, baptized, or the Spirit being upon. So not just the Spirit being within. You want the person to receive the Spirit to the degree of being filled, baptized, or the Spirit being what? Upon. So how then do you do this receiving? The receiving amazing within is faith in the gospel. What receiving is done so that the Spirit of God is now upon, you are filled with Him or you are baptized with Him. What receiving is that? Listen. So, you know, has poured out that Spirit. And at the point of the indwelling, when the Spirit is already poured out, and you have received the indwelling, the ability to pray comes to any resident in the man. Because the ability to pray comes, which makes possible being filled, is in the Spirit. The ability to pray tongues that makes what we want to be filled by speaking is already in that Spirit at the point of the world in dwelling. That means the man has to go a step further and not only receive that salvation that puts Spirit with him, but receive further from there to speak with the ability that is already in him. That means speaking with the ability that is in him causes something to happen to him. You receive something by that, which is the state of being filled. Are you getting this? Amen. Listen again. Jesus poured out the Spirit. By believing the gospel, he has the Spirit within him, indwelling. And the Spirit indwelling him already gives him the ability to pray for. But we now choose to receive not just having the Spirit in him, but to speak by that ability that is in him. He receives much more of that Spirit so that he is baptized with the same, because he chooses to use the ability that is already present within him. Amen. Amen. By doing what? By speaking with God. So, listen well. Every believer. Now, let me say, everybody can choose to receive the Spirit of God at salvation. Everybody, believer or not believer. Are we right? I want to say this. Why Jesus has poured it out at salvation? If they see what Jesus has done, I believe there is the Spirit within. But every believer already has, by the indwelling Spirit, the ability to pray in tongues. Are you there? Every believer already has, by the indwelling Spirit, the ability to pray tongues and can by that receive to be baptized by choosing to use that ability. It is this using that ability that is equal to being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are you following? So if you choose to use that ability to speak and now speaking for that, that is baptized with the Spirit. Amen. You are now allowed yourself to be whelmed by more of the Spirit. More of what is in the Spirit. I want to speak to you. Amen. Much more of what is in the Spirit. You are allowed yourself to be whelmed by the same. Praise God. Baptized to have that Spirit upon. Amen. Active. Amen. To have that Spirit upon, to have that Spirit active, to have that Spirit seen. So the Spirit that's falling upon him is filled with that Spirit, is baptized with that Spirit by using an ability already present with the indwelling Spirit that you have received at salvation. At salvation, when the Spirit is indwelling in man, you already have the ability. Hallelujah. So, if you already have something to pray for, why then will we find some believers that are not filled with the Holy Ghost? Because they have not used that ability by their will. Amen. Notice that when you just pour out the Spirit was not automatically in everybody. You have to believe the gospel and the Spirit in them. How do they believe the gospel? They are willing to choose to believe. Amen. Only for Christ has no one to believe, so I choose to believe the Spirit now in me. Amen. Now, the Spirit in me has the ability to pray in tongues. And by that, I can be baptized now in the Spirit. Amen. And they choose to use that ability to pray in tongues by their will. To choose to use that ability to pray in tongues. So, the only reason why anybody that is a believer is not found speaking in tongues or baptized in the Spirit is because they have not used their will to, they have not by their will used the ability they have. That's the only reason.
Amen. Now, let us say, oh, the reason is ignorance. That's the reason why they have not used their will to pray in tongues. The only reason why they are not healed is that they have not used their will to pray in tongues. I want to say this. Are you not going to say?
Every person can talk in tongues as a function of their will with the ability of God's Spirit that is in them.
Put it to use the ability of God's Spirit in them by their will. Every person can pray in tongues. Are you there? That is born again. That has the Spirit of God within. Amen.
Every person with the Spirit of God within can talk in tongues and participate in this worship and fellowship of God the way God wants.
Amen.
By a function of their will, once they have the indwelling Spirit.
Are you following this?
It is up to them as a function. The only reason why someone has not is that when they have not chosen to do so.
Now, why maybe my will it be that I have not chosen to do so? Maybe it doesn't know at all. Are you following this? When I don't know you have something, you're not going to use it. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying?
Maybe it doesn't know at all. Maybe he's afraid to do so, to use what he has.
Amen. Are you following?
No.
Sometimes,
I realize those people, you were very hungry, you were so broke, you didn't have money. Then now, later, after you know, after prayer, after that man, there was no money in one pocket. That time, and you were hungry. Whatever happened to you, you
were hungry. Amen. I mean, like, praise God.
There was that money, so there was this money in that pocket.
That thing, that was there, I don't have any money. That's ignorance. So you have money to have used the money by will, but it's not good.
Amen. Now you have money, you're not afraid. They told you that you spend this money.
If you spend this money, if you spend this money, if you spend this money,
you will let you do that.
Amen.
So you have money, and I don't say it. Because I say, someone has lost you, spend it.
And why?
If I think it's not bad, I'll spend it.
I'm very good with God, it's not at all.
I'm very good with God, it's not good.
Amen.
Hey, I don't want problem. I just want to know what I'm doing.
You start here.
But why is it not? Because he's not using his will to use what he already has.
But why is he not using his will because of here?
Some because of ignorance.
Amen. I even want to say it. I even
some. Maybe someone else is looking. I don't want to look like a fool. Maybe because of pride. I get what I'm saying. Oh, I don't do that. I don't want to. I don't
want a million and one reason. But the only reason why he's not doing it because
is that he's not using his will to use the ability he already has.
So, are you there?
Amen.
Are you following this?
So a believer with the Spirit within can already be baptized with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and have the Spirit of God whenever he uses his will to talk.
Praise God.
The initial time, that's when he receives that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every other time is when he chooses to keep being healed.
Amen.
That means to be healed. So he can choose to keep being healed. The initial time, the first time he's healed or baptized with the Spirit, then he can choose to keep being healed by speaking. But the ability is already there on the outpouring that Jesus has made in his spirit.
Praise God.
Amen. The believer can never choose to use his will to talk in tongues based on God's word that we have shown and be wrong.
Amen.
Are you following this? The believer can never choose as a function of his will to talk in tongues based on God's word and be wrong. Once you say based on God's word, based on the fact that he knows, I've already believed the gospel and the Spirit of God is in me. And therefore, I have the ability to pray God. So now I talk in tongues now. He can never be wrong because he comes from my ground. He can never be wrong.
Amen.
If he's wrong, then your whole salvation is also wrong.
Are you getting what I'm trying to say?
Then Jesus also is wrong. That from the resurrection, everything is wrong. That means just for our values are forgiven.
Pray God.
Are you following? He can never be wrong.
Say,
is it possible? He can never be wrong, actually. It's impossible.
I mean 100% impossible.
Praise God.
That a man says, I believe on Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm saved. And then of course I say the Spirit of God is in me. And so, because the Spirit of God is now, they have been to talk in God, and I choose to talk in God now. And then it comes and says, that one was wrong. It can never be wrong.
Amen.
Are you following this?
If it's wrong, everything is wrong.
Just forget about it.
Everything
from the belief to the end,
I'm sure, about the Spirit of Christ.
Are you following
this? It can never be wrong.
Hallelujah.
So,
he can never be wrong, just like he can never be wrong when he says, I believe in what Jesus has done, and then not be saved. Can he not be saved? Is that a little more?
It's not possible. He's saved.
Hallelujah. I want to say,
same way, he can never be wrong when he says,
I will talk in tongues now because I'm a child of God with the Spirit of God in me, and without the Spirit of God, it cannot be wrong. Amen. Are you following? That's the confidence upon which we talk in tongues the first time and every other time. Amen. The confidence of the indwelling Spirit because He has been with us. Why do I talk in tongues now today confidently, knowing I'm not wrong? Because I have the influence to that ability to talk in tongues because I'm believing the gospel. Amen. It rests upon my faith in Christ. Hallelujah. That's why when Jesus said the word, because said, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. The man that believes in his name has the ability to pray in tongues, and when his truth is true, he can never be wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Hallelujah. Say, I can never be wrong.
Whenever
I talk in tongues, based on the reality of the indwelling Spirit as a function of my faith in Christ, I can never be wrong. Whenever I choose to talk in tongues, either for the first time or several times afterwards, based on the indwelling Spirit and its ability because of my faith in Christ. Amen. So, talking in tongues based on the universe and my ability to pray in tongues because of my faith in Christ, I can never do it. Never. Amen. Let's just go ahead and talk in tongues. So it's not a human man will no man understand. It's something totally different, strange. No man understands. Yet, he can never be wrong. Say, I was, he cannot be as well what we show. He's not only because he's free from the things of the evil spirit and the ability to speak in tongues because he has believed the gospel. He can never be wrong. Why are you talking wrong? You can never be wrong. And what are you understand? Yes, speaking what you don't understand. Why the reality of the evil spirit and the ability to pray comes there, you can never be wrong. It's impossible. Quiet and talk with God. Say the Lord of the Genesis. Then the girl pronounced the Lord of the Peter Shama. Every girl again is the Lord of the Mondo. Every guest that read the power of Kondo. Then every guest that read the Lord of Edo. Every list of the Lord of the Babylon. Hallelujah. So it's not a human language. Amen. It's total Hebrew to all human languages. And I feel like if every person in the world was standing and had a megaphone loud enough for all of them to hear, nobody could understand. Amen. Look at that. First Corinthians chapter 14. So, what about Acts 2? I'll quickly address that as I go, but I'm very limited because of our time. Amen. And I want to bring this person to do what I need to next. So, amen. I want to say this. 1 Corinthians 14. It says, he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. For no man understands. Look at that. It says, no one. Are you seeing that? No one. How is the Spirit of God speaks to God? It's not a human language. No one. If everybody was listening to the world and they heard it, not the only people understand. It's not a human language. Amen. Are you following this? Okay. So that's very key for us to note. Before I get on to the practice of use of tongues, let me go address Acts 2. But what about Acts 2? After I did that, I won't get to the practice of use of tongues. What about Acts 2? Acts 2 was a feast, the feast of Pentecost, which is celebrated strictly by Jews. The only other people apart from Jews that were celebrated are proselytes who would have to be circumcised and then learn the Jewish language and custom. Are you there? Because that whole, that practice, there will be one unified language with the Jews. I want the same thing. They were just Jews. Amen. And when they were not speaking, Bible says they spoke with tongues. Amen. And the Bible says there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation on the earth. Now, who were the people in Jerusalem? Jews. What is that? They were telling Jerusalem who? Jews. Devout men from every nation on the earth. That means all the people there were Jews or proselytes from the different nations they have been scattered upon the captivity that happened to them, Assyria and Babylon. Are you following this? And they all came back for the Pentecost. Are you? I want to say this. So who were the people there? Jews or proselytes that would have been schooled in the Jewish language and culture. Now, and when the sound of God, once they came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, I'm not Israel. So, Israelites, they said they spoke in their language. That's very good. Just hold on and wait. Amen. And I'm not Israelians. How then we hear them people in our own language which we were born? Well, they said they were Jews. The language which they were born will be the Jewish language. Maybe it was the example of the proselytes. Amen. So, when I started talking about the different places they came from, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, are joining Cyrene. This is not from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. I see that. Christians, Arabs, we hear them speak in our tongue. So, these Jews and proselytes, some of Greece, or some of Arab, Arab, and proselytes, everybody is. He said, we hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful words of God. So pay attention. So they were all amazed and said to one another, what does this mean? Amen. Now look at what happened. Other says they are full of new wine. Peter sang up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, those who dwell in Jerusalem, let this not unto you and leave my word. For these are not drunken as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this was how it was spoken by who? Prophet Joel. He said, that come to pass in the last day, says God, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And your son has to do what? Prophesy. What does it mean to prophesy? Amen. Paul will explain prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14 as what? To talk in tongues and to interpret the tongues. Amen. So when they heard them in their language, what were they hearing them say? The interpretation of tongues. But when we're looking at them, that what the things are straight, what were they saying? Tongues. Amen. Would that text have a potential for being confused, potential to be taken confusingly? Yes. Not like what we're looking at Hebrews 6. Amen. Because of the way Luke wrote it. But what was going on was prophecy, thoughts, and interpretation. When they could relate is the interpretation. When they could not relate is the tongues. I want the same page. Are you following? Now, let me say that if there a possibility that some want to argue that they were possibly speaking their very language, there is a possibility, because that has not happened to the way people are speaking people's very own language miraculously. Amen. Is that tongues? It's not tongues, it's miracle. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying? It's possible, but it's a miracle, it's not tongues. Tongues is not about speaking people's language. Tongues is about worship in the new temple. Amen. Are you following? In this form, that's what tongues is about. And it's not a new language at all. Praise God. So what was going on there? Tongues are established. Is it possible there was some miracle? Maybe. But what I'm very much going on is tongues and prophets. That's what they told us. Luke said they were speaking in tongues. Paul says tongues no man understands. But he also said they were prophesying, so that's why they had things that they understood. You understand? Amen. That's understood. In every other instance, the same thing we see. Acts chapter 10. He said, we had them speak in tongues and magnify God. So did you understand them in that sense? Yes, when they magnify God. But did you understand the tongues? No. Are you following? Same way in Acts 19. He said that they spoke in tongues and prophesied. That means they now prophesied and understood what they were saying. But when they spoke in tongues, they didn't. Praise God. Are you following? Tongues is not a human language. Nobody can be wrong when it chooses to go ahead and speak what the world will call rubbish, that is tongues, based on the reality of the equally spirit that they have been speaking tongues again because they are believing the gospel. No man. Amen. When you guys, I'm saying, I have the equally spirit, I have the ability to speak God, and I'm going to speak all tongues which you are in me, and go ahead and speak for by that fact, by that persuasion and conviction. It can never be wrong. It can't. Amen. It can never be wrong. Not the first time, not the second, not the third, not the fourth, not the never. Are you following this? Amen. What makes tongues strong? What makes the tongues of the Bible is that you speak based on the persuasion of the indwelling spirit that they are able to pray tongues because you are saved. That is the reason why it is tongues. Hallelujah. Then, in one movie, maybe it was even someone that was not born again, that was praying tongues. Just make it up, Matthias sounds. I want to say this. You strong because you speak based on that person of the evil that they are being prayed on because we are born again. Hallelujah. Then I pray, what is the practice and the use of tongues? Glory to his name as we write. You'll find, as we just went to, we can prophesy from tongues to bless others. Amen. We can prophesy from tongues. That means from tongues I can choose to receive the meaning of things said to be of a blessing to others. That will be said in another teaching. Amen. I can choose to receive from my speaking in tongues the meaning of things said to bless others. That's what we can do from tongues. What else can happen from tongues? It's key for prayer. Amen. You see, Paul said, Ephesians 6:18, pray in all those prayers, submission in what? In the Spirit. Paul was going to pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 and in verse 2. He said, if a man prays in tongues, he speaks not to men but to God. How is in the Spirit? The only prayer called in the Spirit is tongues. So by 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, he said, I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. My understanding is of this. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, I'll pray with the understanding also. That means it is only tongues that is called prayer in the Spirit. So it is useful or it is effective for prophecy to get the meaning of things said to edify others. Effective for prayer, all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Effective for prayer. But most primarily and most effectively for personal devotion and edification. Are you following this? That means the largest bulk of our talking in tongues would and should be for personal devotion and edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 3. It says, first in verse 2, he that speaks in tongues speaks not to men but God. For no man understands how he is in the Spirit, he speaks mystery. He's speaking to God, fellowship with him. That's personal devotion. Amen. Then verse 3 says, I'm baptized through the scripture, John and Paul's friend. Verse 4, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. Hallelujah. That's why Jude 20 will say, but you beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. Tongues. He's edifying himself. Some will say that he needs to tie himself up like a battery. Amen. He's edifying himself. Are you there? He's building himself up. He's fortifying himself. So it's for personal edification. He edifies himself. So much so that Paul is going to tell us in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. So one thing we can know for sure is that why Paul was a Paul and why Paul was the way he was that the man was given to talking in tongues almost all the time. Amen. He was given to talking in tongues almost all the time. You see, in the Christian family, he's talking in tongues. You see, just taking the school down the street, he's talking in tongues. You see, just coming back from work, he's talking in tongues. He sent out for out, he's under his breath, he's talking in tongues. The man was always talking in tongues. Amen. He said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues. I speak with tongues more than you all. More than you all. Amen. Amen. Building himself up. Building up yourself in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. A believer that is going to see the spiritual growth that God expects of each and every one of us must be a man that gives himself much to talking in tongues. He must give himself a whole lot to talking in tongues. Are you following this? All the time. You know what? You cannot say I'm going the whole day talking in tongues. Hallelujah. And just going throughout the online experience, just talking in tongues. And you don't know that you're all. He's talking in tongues. Amen. Talking in tongues. You can barely see me in a Christian meeting hearing God's word, not talking in tongues. It's difficult. It's almost difficult. Amen. Not talking. It's so difficult. I'm always hearing God's word, talking in tongues. Must have devotional time for praying in tongues. Yes. Because in the temple, that's our mode of worship and fellowship. And we are called in that temple to devotion, as we have seen. Amen. You can listen to the devotion and fellowship with the Father. Praise God. We are called to devotion. So it does have some time. But you know what? That devotion, being in that temple of God, is also all the time. It's everywhere in the temple. Amen. Are you following? The Father has come to make room with him all the time. Amen. You could not stop becoming anytime. All the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I give myself. When you are filled with the Spirit by talking in tongues of you will see the things of the Spirit watching you so effectively. Amen. Sights and sounds. Amen. So effectively. Utterances. So accurately. Amen. The things of the Spirit so effectively. Sometimes you don't see yourself carry on this almost intangible sense of the presence of God that is already loving with you. Are you following? The sense of the glory of God upon you is just tangible. Praise God. Because He gives Himself much to talk in the tongue. To talk in the tongue. Amen. God wants to build us spiritual souls. He wants to build us up spiritual souls. We have to give ourselves all the time to talk in the tongue. Listen, God. Christianity is a supernatural life. It's not enough to just have so much logic of God's word in your head. That's good and it's important. But you've got to be charismatic. Praise God. You've got to be charismatic. Amen. Are you following me? You've got to be charismatic. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Give me to tongues. Be sensitive to the things of the Spirit. Sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. So I give myself.